Welcome to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable, the program where business and industry connect to share topics and ideas that move the world's energy. BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable is brought to you by IVS Investment Banking. IVS Investment Banking delivers premium financial transaction services to assist industrial business owners, primarily in the downstream sector. Visit IVSinvestmentbanking.com to learn more.
Hey everyone, it's Jeremy Osterberger with BIC Magazine. Today we're talking to Sonny Best, Director of Turnaround Management at Audubon Engineering. Sonny brings more than 30 years of industry and turnaround experience to this discussion, including more than 10 years with BP. Hey, welcome, Sonny. We appreciate you giving BIC Magazine some of your time.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good to be here.
So look, let's talk about Hurricane Ida, Sonny, and how refining and petrochemical facilities are assessing their assets and planning recovery. Of course, we know people make these facilities run. So those that were deeply affected by this, they're in our thoughts and our prayers. I just wanted to preface this discussion with that. So here's where things stand. Louisiana has 17 oil refineries that account for nearly one-fifth of the nation's refining capacity. At least nine refineries report no power. And Entergy, Louisiana's utilities provider, estimates 2 to 3 weeks before power is restored. So Sonny, let's get into it. You know, what is the process for identifying and assessing damage after a catastrophic event or disaster?
Yeah, Jeremy. So first things first, you have to get in and talk to the owners and find out what state the plant's in. Did they have a controlled shutdown? Is something still live? You know, what state is the unit in before we start getting in there and figuring out what's wrong?
Yeah, and let's get into a little bit more about that. You know, is there, how do you form the team? How do you start that process? You know?
So with Audubon, we would have a recovery manager, such as myself, with four or five SMEs around different disciplines of work, as well as coupled up with the customer would have four or five SMEs in a WBS format. So in other words, electrical that we need to address. We need an electrical SME from the site that knows their equipment, and then we will have an electrical coordinator working with that person to start developing the work list and the problematic areas. So even though at this time, some of the owners can't even get back into the plant because there's water there and it's a dangerous situation. You can start this whole process even before you go back into the plant. You know, get an electrical guy, an instrument guy, a boiler guy, and cooling water type person, and go ahead and start developing the known problematic areas. If you have 4 feet of water in the plant, 5 feet of water in the plant, you know the list of equipments by going by P&IDs of what you would be, what the known problematic areas would be, and start creating those lists right away. And then in parallel to that, creating a steering team that's going to guide this and writing a proper premise document that says what you decide you're going to do. Because it's very easy in this situation to start vulcanizing the whole entire plant, avoided maintenance work of years. You know, you don't want to go and rebuild the whole entire plant. Everything is wrong. You just want to address the things, or at least have a strategy of coming up how you want to do it.
So, Sonny, what are the key priorities in that strategic planning process?
Well, you got to get in and prioritize. So first, your electrical infrastructure is mostly all on the ground level. So all your switch gear type components and that kind of stuff, your high voltage stuff is all in jeopardy. So you've got to get some procurement people on the task right away, because everybody in Louisiana is going to be looking for the same type stuff. So you got to prioritize getting electrical right, getting things dried out, getting your instrumentation working, getting clean cooling water, conditioned cooling water so you don't circulate a lot of salt water through the equipment. So you got to get your basic utilities and infrastructure fixed first, and then you go looking at your rotating equipment, things of that nature.
So after that preliminary damage assessment is completed, when can the owner expect a recovery schedule and I guess a cost estimate would be next?
Yeah, so of course, all the upper level management, senior management folks want to know how long is this going to take and how much is it going to cost. So you got to get in there and get that decided first. So depending on every customer being a little bit different, depending on what level of damage they incurred. But within 4 weeks of doing the assessments, you ought to be able to have a 10% or somewhere close estimate of what it's going to take. And then if you prioritize your stuff and you build it in the systems into a P6 platform that you start planning in, then you ought to be able to have a schedule and a cost in 4 to 5 weeks.
Then how's the recovery team organized in order to execute the disaster recovery plan?
It would be probably 4 or 5 Autobahn leadership folks that we would put on site. And then we would couple that with 4 or 5 disciplined SMEs and a steering team from the owner side.
Okay. And then, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then we would get all that stuff planned and put into a schedule. And depending upon where the handoff would be, whether we just got the strategy piece completed, handed it over, or if we continue to help you get the work done, you know, because it's much like a turnaround, you know, chaos situation with so much work in such a little bit of time. So putting together an execution team and executing it could take, you know, a long time, months, but the team would be basically 4 or 5 Autobahn folks and 4 or 5 or 8 of the, depending on size of the and complexity of the customer situation.
Sonny, I would think procurement is probably an issue. We've seen some stories of supply chain shortage and some scheduled turnarounds being kicked or pushed because of that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, address the procurement side of this, if you would.
So I would say the first things first was get the premise document, your strategy documented. And second thing on the list would be bring in as much purchasing power as you can get within the owner side. And someone like us, we, you know, we have a pretty large capacity for purchasing engineering type items. So all the small horsepower electric motors, things of that nature, I'd buy all of them that you can get your hands on to fit, because that those are going to be the small things that are going to be holding up getting the plant back in safe operations.
Well, Sonny, I guess the next question is, say, what's the silver lining here? There are some unseen benefits in the wake of a disaster like this. So what are your thoughts?
Greg, it's hard to believe that there could be something good that could come out of a situation like this. But in a customer situation, if you have a small turnaround coming up within the next year or two, a catalyst change or some sort of situation, you would include that into your strategy document, take advantage of the downtime that you're going to have to get the plant back into safe operations, and do and include that kind of turnaround type items. You know, once you overlay your recovery items from the storm damage and overlay that around the turnaround type activities. So for instance, if you're going to be down for 3 months trying to rebuild a unit, change the PSVs, you know, get the PSVs popped and retest and redated. Things that are critical for turnaround work, and you could potentially defer a turnaround, your next turnaround, you know, take advantage of that opportunity to defer what you can and gain some ground back.
Wow, so good point on that, a turnaround deferment. Sonny, I know your time is limited. We thank you for joining BIC Magazine and diving into a timely topic in the wake of Hurricane Ida. I'm glad you could jump on.
Great. Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And for those watching, if you're interested in learning more about Audubon Engineering, visit audubon.com. As always, we are most grateful for our audience. Please like and share this recording with colleagues. And for more news, videos, podcasts, visit BICmagazine.com. Remember, everybody, it's what we do together that counts.
Thank you for listening to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable. Log on to BICmagazine.com for industry news and resources. Industry Roundtable is brought to you by IVS Investment Banking. IVS Investment Banking delivers premium financial transaction services to assist industrial business owners, primarily in the downstream sector. Visit IVSinvestmentbanking.com to learn more.